All right, no, Katie, today, as it is, it's just you and I, Nate. She may or may be back tomorrow. We don't know as she's out. And we were just talking about people like her, Grant, you know, people that work with the team. This is really the only time they can take time off. And we're, although Grant's working, you know, Grant works all the time. Anyway, he's not working. He's running golf tournaments. He's doing a ton of stuff. Before we bring Grant on, and this is one of those situations in sports talk radio that's completely impossible. We're trying to do a fun show. We're trying to entertain. We're going to bring Grant on. We're going to have some fun. And there's really no segue into what I'm about to say and no segue out of what I'm about to say. So let's
perfect.
Just,
I'm the best foil for that because, well, you know, my transitions are smooth.
Yeah, I'm saying that because we're going to have a fun interview with Grant here. And I hate to do this to him going in, but there's bigger things happening in the world. John Saunders, ESPN longtime anchor, has passed away. They're announcing that right now in front of us. Hannah Storm was announcing it in tears. John Skipper, with a statement. I don't have the details. A lot of stuff going on here right now, but that just flashed across our screen as you were doing your update. And a lot of us, I mean, grew up watching John Saunders in just about every capacity possible with ESPN. That, you know, it seems like we were just talking about Stuart Scott not that long ago. But that's all over the news right now. And I'm sure, in addition to all the things in sports today that we're talking about, the Olympics and football and everything, that is a story, that is absolutely going to dominate your sports world. And yeah, we're, you know, sports media competes against each other. You do this, you do that, but there is a mutual respect, anyone in this business, not to mention people that watch guys like John Saunders have that go way beyond any of that. He was a phenomenal broadcaster, and by all accounts, I never met him, but a tremendous human being as well. So John Saunders passing away, that news just coming across the desk, and we'll keep you up to date on that as we go throughout the day. Like I said, there's literally no way to segue in, no way to segue out. There's no way around it, but got to report the news. So that's that. We move on as I bring in a very unfair position. I apologize, Grant, but that's big news, and that needed to be talked about. Grant Napier joining us. You've heard him this week on Jim Rome. You'll hear him this afternoon as well as he gets ready for not just football but basketball. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I say funny, I don't mean it in the right true sense of the word funny, but right before I was, you know, waiting to come on, I saw it come across, you know, my Twitter account, and I was just – I had the same reaction with you. I was just like, wow. I wasn't aware if he was ill. I don't know whether he was ill or whether he had an accident or whatever. Well, but he was a great guy. I will tell you that. Really, really phenomenal person. And I'm like you. I was just like shocked when I saw it pop up on my Twitter page.
And I don't want to get too goofy here, but for somebody like you, you know, guys like me and Nate do fun, silly radio stuff. But a guy like you that is a real broadcaster that works in broadcasting for the Kings and has been around and doing this for a while, whether or not you ever met or knew John Saunders personally.
Yeah, I met John, and absolutely. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's that brotherhood that goes through, not just amongst broadcasters, but I think amongst viewers as well. Watching from, you know, when I'm just sticking with ESPN, but Coach Valvano to Stuart Scott and now John Saunders, these people bring you your sports, and then when something like this happens, I think it hits everybody a little bit differently.
Well, and here's something else. You know, when you watch someone, you kind of you stereotype them, and you think, well, gee, boy, that's a really great person, or you go, boy, that guy's an idiot, or whatever. You know, we all do that, and then we really don't know. And then when we meet the person, if we, you know, like John Saunders always came across to me as, boy, that just looks like a really nice guy, a great guy. And then when you meet him, you know, everything you thought about him is validated. You know, the worst thing in the world is, because we all have our idols. We all, whether it's a sports figure, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. It could be a play-by-play announcer. It could be whatever, okay? And then if you're fortunate enough to meet that person, and that person is rude and or standoffish or whatever, it's a dagger to your heart. You're like, wow, I've idolized and I've rooted for this person, and I've had this concept of what this person would be like in real life. And then when I met him or her, it shattered me. So John was, you know, what you saw with John on TV, that's how John was in real life.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, and I've often said, and I've had fun with it before, you know, I grew up here. I grew up watching you, watching G-Man, watching, you know, idolizing people here in town, especially around the Kings, wanting to be a broadcaster. I don't think I've ever asked you, though, growing up, who were the guys you watched?
Well, I grew up watching Marv Albert, and that's the only reason why I got into the business. I mean,
good.
Marv Albert was the radio voice of the Rangers and the Knicks, and he was also the sports anchor on WNBC TV Channel 4 in New York. I'll give you a real quick story about, you know, a moment that really changed my life. I used to cut all the highlights when I was in junior high school. I would record on my – I had a little white portable cassette recorder, and I used to record – the Knicks and Ranger games, and then before I went to school, I would cut some of the highlights, and in homeroom before first period started, I would play all the great highlights for all of my friends in homeroom. And anyway, to make a long story short, I had a friend that I went to school with whose father was very close to the Knicks organization, and they arranged for me to meet Marv Albert when I was in eighth grade. And I met Marv before a Knicks game, which also was a real treat because back then you couldn't get tickets for the Knicks. And the only reason why I got a ticket was through this friend. And I met Marv Albert before the game, and he was the nicest, you know, person. And, you know, really he spent, you know, 7-8 minutes with me. And then when I got into high school, I sent Marv a cassette tape of my play-by-play that I had done in high school because we had a radio station in our high school, and I still have it to this day. Marv sent me back a long letter with the Channel 4 NBC logo on it, and back then, when you wrote your scripts for TV with the teleprompter, the print was larger than if you were to go back to a typewriter back then and just print out, you know, whatever. I mean, we didn't have computers back then. So, and so I still have that letter with the oversized print from Marv Albert telling me, you know, critiquing my play-by-play work at a very early age.
Well, and Grant, hey, how you doing, by the way?
Nate, good year. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. It's good to be able to jump in on this.
Yes.
This kind of ties in because it's amazing, and this is basically what you're saying, like the impact for good or worse that one person can have in one meeting. Like I remember, and this is, I guess, probably going to come across like I'm kissing up, but when I first met you, I didn't know what to do, and I still kind of freak
you
out.
You were scared
and get a little,
to death, right?
I still get a little palm sweaty sometimes. But there's just, and it was so simple because, you know, you didn't have to like overwhelm me and you know, court me or anything stupid like that. But it was so simple, just as simple. Hey, how you doing? You know, what are you interested in? Type it. Just a simple, like it stuck with me forever, and now here I am ruining a morning show
about
on your
that?
Radio station.
That's well. You know what? Dave was the same way. Yep. And, listen, I'm stereotyped as a harsh, rude person. I get that. And that's just fine. I have no problem with that. And it used to bother me. It doesn't bother me anymore because I knew who I am and I know who my friends are. And I've been doing this a long time. And so that's just, it used to bother me. I'm not going to lie, a long time ago, but now, you know, it is what it is. But back to John for a minute, you know, he did the Raptors games for, I think, 5 or 6 years. And that's how I got to know John. And, you know, I would have him on my radio show at times. But again, he was just a great guy. And it is very sad news. But, you know, we all have, you know, I don't know, Nate and Dave, you know, who you grew up, you know, watching. I guess, Dave, in Sacramento, you only have two choices, me or Gary Gerald.
Yeah.
But, Nate, I don't know what your background is. But
that's it.
You know, but in New York, you're thinking about, you know, this number one market, and gee, this is a guy that does the Knicks, the Rangers. He did network, you know, stuff. I mean, this is like, to me, you know, was a legend, and for him to be so nice. And then when I sent him a cassette of my work to give me that long response, you know, again, listen, I still have it. I still have it in my, you know, whatever, you know, in a box with all of my special mementos and things that have been important to me in my life, I still have it.
Grant Napier joining us. This was not the conversation we were going to have,
right?
Obviously, and I'm really enjoying it now. I've never asked you this, Grant. I'm watching the Olympics right now, and I also know, I mean, listen, your stuff gets regularly played nationally, and you catch phrases and all that. I'm kind of curious because I'm guessing, and I'm going to have egg on my face if I'm wrong here, that it's a choice of yours. I know you're very happy with your job here. Have you ever thought about doing Olympics? Have you ever thought about doing national stuff?
You know what? I have. I would love to do the Olympics, and I just never really, I guess, was aggressive enough to try to pursue it. I guess so. I put that on me. The other, you know, issue is, you know, I have two jobs, both as the TV announcer of the Kings and my radio duties, and that would require taking off a whole month. And that logistically, it would be very difficult. But, yeah, you know, I would love to. And I've never really had a desire to do, you know, other things nationally other than play-by-play. And I have actually done some national play-by-play stuff. But you know what? I really mean this. And I'm not just saying this because I'm, you know, on in Sacramento. People know who I am. You know, people say, well, gee, you're in New York. You're from New York. Well, the reality is I've lived, you know, longer in Sacramento than any other place in my life. I've lived here over half my life. And I absolutely love living here. And, you know, Jerry Reynolds and I talk about this all the time because he's from Indiana. There's no other place in the country that I would rather live. And I'm very comfortable here. And I like all aspects of being here. And I've never really pursued leaving here because I don't want to move from here. I'm very content. I think I have a great job. I mean, I only have one of, you know, 30 jobs in the world. I think I work for the best league in the world, and I have a job in that league, and I've been doing it for 29 years. I love talking to the fans every day on the radio, and I do get a chance to do national radio, which I love, as you've heard me the last couple of days. I mean, that's something I've always wanted to do, and so I still am able to do that. But, you know, in terms of pursuing national, I mean, with that comes a whole set of responsibilities, a whole set of, you know, it's not a lot of longevity in that line of work. I wanted to be in a place where I could have longevity. That was a great place to raise my family, that I love living here. And I tell you, I love living here, and I sell Sacramento whenever I'm out and about and people ask me about Sacramento. I tell them how great it is, because I think we truly live in one of the great places in all of the United States. And when I first moved here in 87, I didn't know anything about Sacramento. I couldn't even pick it out on a map for you. And when I first moved here, the line that I'll never forget is Sacramento, nothing in the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That was kind of true. You had Lake Tahoe, you had San Francisco, you had Napa, you had Monterey. But Sacramento's grown up a lot since I've been here. And I love it. And I have no desire to ever move from here.
We have the Olympics on in front of us. Now you got me thinking. I'm thinking, take away the obvious, take away basketball, take away all the major, you know, sports, basketball. I'm thinking what would be a fun event to have Grant Napier call
it. Fast. It would have to be fast. I couldn't do like the, you know, the shooting events, you know, the you know what I mean? It would have to be fast.
What about fencing? Fencing?
You know what? I don't know. I'll tell you this, I really mean this. I don't mean to sound, you know, like egotistical or anything. I think I could announce anything in the world, and I think I could announce any sporting event in the world, including soccer, if I prepared for it and worked at it. Like, I think I could announce two dogs running across my front yard. Like, I know I could. And so I really do. I mean, I have that much confidence.
If you can do hockey, can't you pretty much do
anything,
sport?
Right?
Yes, and I've done hockey for a long time, and I was fortunate enough to fill in for the Sharks, you know, back in the 90s and do games. I've done a lot of hockey. And I agree with you. I think if you can do hockey, you can pretty much do anything. You know the sport that I don't know if I could really do?
What?
Baseball.
Because it's too slow, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I think I could do it, but I mean, I don't know if I would be good at it. I don't know if I would like doing it. But I've never done a baseball game. And Nate, I know you've done many a baseball games, but I've never done a baseball game. And I actually would love to do a couple of innings just to see what it would be like.
Love to get you out at the old Hornet Field, harangue you for one
That's
of those.
That's amazing.
You know, those guys would love that. And it's just such a completely different pace. Both of those games, I can.
It's storytelling.
That's it. I mean, you have to, and it's not even so much about having meticulous notes on each player, because all of that stuff is there for you. A lot of it is just knowing how to recount that stuff and knowing the timing and when to do it.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, I was listening to the Giants game driving home last night, and this was really funny. There was a pop-up that the catcher caught, but he had to go through the on-deck circle, and John Miller was talking about how he almost tripped because there were bats, and then he was describing all of the stuff in the circle, the lead donuts and everything, and he said basically that was like trying to catch a pop-up in your tool shed. You know, and I was just like, you know, I mean, it's little things like that that I really get a kick out of, and you know, the different nuances, and John Miller is one of the very best that's ever lived, in my opinion, in calling baseball. But I was driving home, and I'm like, you know, I really got a kick out of that one line. It's like catching a pop up in your tool shed.
Now,
so.
Now, how about, you've probably done a little volleyball in your day, haven't you?
You know, I have not done any volleyball. Oh. I have not. I've done a lot of different sports. I've never done volleyball.
Because those, I mean, those are the ones to me when you watch those men, I will fawn over NBA players. I mean, for 82 yep. games all season long. But you throw some of these same guys out there. These volleyball athletes are the same, man. 6'9".
They're amazing.
Jumping out of the gym.
It's amazing.
Wow, that's a fast game.
You know, here's the key for people that are listening that want to get into the business, okay? When you say, well, I don't really have an interest in that sport. And Dave, I really mean
do
this.
Anyway.
You know how I feel about soccer.
Yeah.
In my heart, I believe I could do soccer. But here's what it would require. I don't understand the nuances of the sport. I don't even know what you're, you know, like I would call, you know, whatever the lines on the field even. And
sure.
I really mean that.
Sure.
Like if you're going to go and you're going to call the sport, then you've got to know the nuances because each sport is different. I mean, you've got to know what the box, you know, what do they call the line that goes across the middle of the field in soccer? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, you know, that's why I think if I spent time, okay, and I did all my homework and I researched it, you know, play by play is play by play.
Yep.
It's describing what's going on, and I'm very confident that I can do that in any sport. But what I don't know are the nuances of the game, and that's what Marv Albert taught me. He said you must develop the nuances of the game, and he explained it to me. He said if you're going to do basketball, you need to be able to describe the ball being brought up the court in 10 different ways. Because you don't want to sound the same on every play. So, you know, he was really great with me. He said, okay, you know, he walks the ball across, okay, dribbles with the right hand, brings it across with the left hand, now sprints and veers to the right side. You know, I mean, and he gave me different ways. He said, don't make the play, which is pretty basic, don't make it sound the same way every time. Make it sound different. And that has always stuck in my mind. Once you know the nuances of the game, whatever sport it is, and then figure out a way to describe the same thing over and over again, but describe it differently. That, to me, is the key to doing really good play-by-play. Because if you're going to have a person that's going to invest, you know, 2.5 hours, whether it's baseball or whether it's basketball or football, you know, if you sound the same on every single play, it's going to be boring. All right? And that to me, is the real key in the upper echelon play-by-play people, is they're so good at describing it, but yet they describe it differently all the time.
How do you catch yourself? Is it just second nature at this point, or do you actually try to keep in mind, like, okay, I've been saying it this way, boom, got to switch, don't be repetitive?
Well, radio and TV are completely different. On TV, you don't...
Well, did we lose him? Oh, we dropped Grant.
Oh, man.
Ah, man. We'll get him back here. Matt's working on him right now. This is why I love talking to Grant on the radio.
Because yeah, I hear you.
For a number of reasons.
Well, I like the question. I can tell you. Okay.
Grant, you there?
Let him do the thing.
Yeah, I'm here. Here's what I was saying.
Sure.
You see, you know, the difference between TV and radio, I don't have to be as descriptive on TV because you can see what's going on. I don't have to tell you that, you know, so-and-so is bringing the ball up the court with the right hand. I mean, you can see that. But on radio, you know, I am the ears, the eyes. I have to set the entire tone, the entire picture, and the description. So, you know, when I do radio, I mean, it's night and day different from TV.
Now, and much like anything, I would assume, it takes a couple games to get back into form,
oh,
right? Where
yes,
no matter
it does.
How long you've done it, those first couple
yes.
games are just like, oh, man, spit it out.
Well, you know, when you do baseball, mm-hmm. I mean, people think it's like getting on a bike. It really isn't. Even in the King season, you know, I always want to do a preseason game or two to get the rust off, even though I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And then once the season starts, I don't really feel like I'm in a good flow and rhythm for about 5 games into the season.
Yeah.
And it's, even though I've been doing this all the time, you've got to stay on it. You really do.
You know, and I got to be careful to disclaim what I'm about to ask here, because if you and I both prayed to broadcast deities, we'd be kneeling at the altar of Gary Gerald. And,
yes.
You know, and I know you love what you do with Jerry, but do you, in a vacuum, do you have a preference between TV play-by-play and radio play-by-play?
Yeah, I love radio play-by-play. It's why I got into this business. It's to me... The most amazing thing about our profession is be able to describe what's going on and to captivate a listener at home and say, wow, you know, I feel like I'm at the game. The best compliment you can get, be given if you're doing radio play-by-play is, wow, you know what? I actually felt like I was at the game listening to you. And to me, that is such a difficult thing to accomplish. It is such an art form. And here's the other real key on radio. And I think it's something that a lot of play-by-play men and women do not understand. Describe the play as it's happening. Don't tell me what happened. Tell me what is happening. Always try to announce a game in radio in present tense. okay? Don't just tell me what happened. And here's the other key. When you listen to a football game or you listen to a basketball game, you can really tell a play-by-play man that is absolutely 100% on the game, because as the ball is going in the basket, they're telling you it's going in the basket, as opposed to 2 or 3 seconds later when you could hear the ball going through the basket. And that is really challenging, especially in our day and age of technology where there are microphones everywhere and you can hear every little thing that's going on in a game. Same in hockey. Is the play-by-play announcer in hockey, is he announcing it as it's happening, or is he telling you that a team scored a goal when you can already hear the horn and the fans going crazy 3 seconds after it occurred? That's the real trick, and to me it is such a great art form if you can master that. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but that's what I find so challenging about radio.
One of the guys that I love, too, from a national perspective that does that exact thing I notice a lot during the playoffs is Kevin Calabro, where you can almost hear him calling it as the ball is going through the net. And you talk about, you know, 25 different ways to describe one thing. That's as good as it gets.
Kevin Calabro is the best basketball play-by-play announcer in the country, in my opinion. I have the utmost respect for him. I always have. I've known Kevin since, gosh, I think Kevin and I started pretty much at the same time in the NBA. He's a pro's pro. I mean, he is great. And I could listen to Kevin Calabro do a game from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. You know, Matt George just told me we have a minute, but I got to ask you.
That's it? We only have a minute?
I know. We had all
what do you got coming on next segment?
I have no idea. We had all these questions we were going to talk about.
Well, then, you know what? I mean, listen, I'm going to take over your show. If you don't have a guest coming on, let's keep it going.
Beautiful. I love it. We'll take a break right now. That is absolutely fantastic. We'll come back. It's a three-man booth right now. It's Nate, myself, and Grant Napier. We're back after this on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we continue with the program here. Katie out. We have a new co-host for this segment.
Yes.
Nice.
Hey, join Sports 1140 for a free barbecue this Friday, noon to 1, 5244 Madison Avenue. Free food courtesy of the Barbecue Pro. You'll also receive a pair of A's vouchers while supplies last. For more info, visit KHDK.com. Grant, I won't be there. I'll be in L.A. playing golf.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that you're playing with no names down there. So, I mean, I don't even know why you would go down there for. It's pretty frightening how your life's turned around the last couple of years. I will tell you that. Nate, how do you put up with such a big wheel, a high roller, you know, every day? I got to ask you.
I just got to let him walk through the door first. That's all.
That's it. Well, my nose beats him by about 10 minutes. Hey, so I'm going down there with Oates, right? And we found out it's Phil Oates goes down. He's, as you know, one of the nicest men in the world.
The best. Love the man.
Insanely charitable. And it's a charity foundation golf tournament I've had the honor of being invited to the last couple of years with him. We found out who we're playing with. I'm spacing on who he's playing with, but I know I know in my foursome we get Penny Hardaway.
Really?
I have no idea what I'm going to ask Penny Hardaway, but last year we had Ozzie Smith.
I love Ozzie Smith. What a great guy.
He's playing. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, this is a guy that would normally slip your mind. He's Phil's playing with some guy named Ronnie Lotz.
Jeez. Yeah, are you kidding me or what?
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
That is unbelievable.
I'm an absolute
idiot. You know what? I love that. That's great. Well, I know you're going to have a great time. Nate, is there any way I can hire you to do updates on my show? I mean, I know that you get up early in the morning and stuff, but like, what would it take? You know, what would it take for you, you know, to do some updates on my show? If that's something that we can work out, would you contact me after the show, please?
Yeah, well, I'll get my agent in contact.
I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, you guys are, you know, I mean, you would have thought that, like, I'm doing stand-up comedy here. I just asked a simple question. I didn't expect to get that type of reaction, for crying out loud.
You know, I applied for that job. They told me I got to work on my pipes a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. You guys kill me. Hey, well, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, so when does that golf tournament start?
We go down tomorrow after the show. We go down and...
See, this is why this is bogus. When I play in celebrity golf tournaments, the celebrity is Dave.
Wow. That is very frightening. The one thing I have heard about Penny, and I don't know if this is true or not, but you'll find out, he gets very irritated by people that don't play well.
Oh. Oops. That'll be a fun Friday. Hey, we were, you know, and the whole kind of we're having a great time. This is why I love having Grant on the air, because the conversation in the last half hour started about as horribly as it could with the news that longtime ESPN broadcaster John Saunders had passed away, and Grant shared some anecdotes about John and the business. And then we got into this conversation the last half hour that we're carrying over to this segment, just about everything the broadcast business, which I think is absolutely fascinating. I know you guys on the text line have been all over it. And I wanted to ask you, but before we went to break, and thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, sure, of course.
There's one story, because we talk a lot off the air, no surprise, and sometimes I forget what we talk about off and on the air, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this publicly, but you've told me stories before. I have a pet peeve when, and I think a lot of fans do, when an analyst, usually an ex-athlete or somebody in the business, will get overexcited during a call and will step all over the play-by-play announcer. And what I mean by that is, if it's a big play, the play-by-play guy's doing the call, and the analyst will talk over him or yell or scream or whatever. If you watch Kings games, one thing that you'll notice amongst many is that never, ever, ever happens with Grant and Jerry. And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here,
no.
Grant, but you've told me there's a very good reason why.
Well, when Jerry first started, doing the games with me, and again, this is, you can ask any broadcast crew, the play-by-play announcer is driving the bus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, the play-by-play announcer is. The guy that is steering the game. I have always felt this, and I'll die feeling this. To me, the most important person on TV is the analyst. The most important person on radio is the play-by-play announcer, because you can't see what's going on. I always defer to Jerry, but whenever the gets excited, and particularly at home games, the best thing is to hear the crowd and let the pictures do the talking. And so when we have a euphoric moment, something that is just phenomenal, I will actually put my hand up in front of Jerry. And that just means we're laying out here. And so the great moments, I want the crowd to take over. I want the pictures to do the talking. And it's as simple. I just put my hand up in front of him. I will tell you, though, what I used to do. I did radio for the Kings for 3 years in the mid-90s. And one year, Brian Wheeler, who's now the longtime voice of the Portland Trailblazers, did games with me as the color analyst. And Wheels sounded like a baby that had just been born on big plays, okay? And it got to be so annoying, and I talked to him about it, that whenever there was a big play, I would reach over and turn his mic off. Okay, and I told him that I was going to do that. Listen, I had Dave Lapham on. He's the color analyst for the Cincinnati Bengals years ago, and he's probably the worst in the league, because you can't hear, you don't know what's going on big plays. And here's what I've always said, and when I talk to students in schools, and I talk to people that want to get into this business, if you cannot understand the play-by-play announcer and you cannot hear him well, then it defeats the purpose of listening to the game, because that person is painting the picture. He is your ears and your eyes. You are glued to what's going on. Well, there is nothing more irritating than listening to a game on the radio and hearing the analyst talk over in excitement when you really can't even understand what the hell is going on. And I'll tell you, I know you guys play highlights in the mornings, and during football season, you'll know what I'm talking about. I know that you will. You cannot honestly tell sometimes what's going on in a game, because the analyst is stepping all over the play-by-play announcer. And to me, there is nothing worse than that in radio. But on TV, it's as simple. I just put a hand up going, we're laying out. We're going to let the pictures do the talking.
No, that's one of the reasons that I like Joe Buck so much, because I think that he does a great job of not letting his emotion overcome what's actually happening on the field. But he got absolutely crushed when you go back to the helmet catch. I know you're a Giants fan, so you're there with that. But he got crushed for not being excited enough. I guess, how did you feel about that, and how do you find that medium?
I look at it this way. Joe Buck is at the very top of his field, on a huge network, doing both the World Series and every 3 years the Super Bowl. So, it seems to me that whatever he's doing, it's working just fine. I'm a big Joe Buck fan. I think he's masterful at describing. I also agree with you. I don't think he gets carried away. I think he's fabulous the way he interacts with his analyst. Joe Buck, out of all of the network announcers, probably gets the most attention in a negative way. But as long as they're talking about you in this business, there's nothing worse than being a professional announcer and people don't have an opinion of you. That would be the worst thing in the world. You want people to have an opinion about you. You want them to be able to say, well, I really like this guy for this reason and I don't like him for this reason. But if they're not talking about you at all, that's the worst thing in this business. Joe Buck is great. Obviously, Fox thinks he's great. It's subjective. Not everyone likes Joe Buck, but as I said, hey, he's doing the World Series every year and he's doing the Super Bowl every 3 years. There are a lot of people, Nate, that I think would trade in their jobs to be doing that.
To underscore your point earlier between you and Jerry and that chemistry and allowing the call to breathe, or as you say, to lay out, we were talking earlier about the Tyreek Evans buzzer beater against Memphis.
Right.
And I remember the call with you very specifically. You had a huge exclamation when the ball went in. And then if I remember right, it was like 6 seconds, maybe more, of nothing but crowd noise afterwards. You have an advantage, I assume, being on television where you can let it breathe like that as opposed
Absolutely.
To radio? Okay.
Can't do it on radio. I mean, you can do it on radio for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably 5 seconds would be about the norm on a huge play, maybe once you describe what happened, and then for about 5 seconds. But that doesn't translate nearly as well, as it does on TV. I mean, TV, listen, we are watching the game, and you want to get caught up in the excitement of the crowd and the players and everything else. So, you know, they are two completely different mediums. Now, if you're on the road, like if I'm doing a game on the road on radio and there's a big play, I don't lay out at all because the crowd's dead because there's nothing to hear. But at home, it's a whole different thing. It's very difficult to talk over the crowd. It's almost impossible to talk over the crowd on TV. You can do it a little bit better on radio because of the way the setup is with the microphones. But, you know, again, it's got to be short on radio. TV, I think I laid out for 30 seconds on the Tyreek Evans play. I mean, to me, that was just a special moment. We didn't even go to replays for a while because we were cutting. You know, the director and producer did such a great job of, you know, interacting and cutting everything. So it just depends. You know, you get a feel for the game. You get a feel for what are really special moments. And the special moments need to be shared by the person watching at home without any interruption. That's the best thing I can say.
Well, since we're reliving it verbally, we have it right now. Here's the call, the buzzer beater, Tyreek Evans versus Memphis. How hard is it, though? How hard is it when you're going crazy internally? I mean, you almost have to put your own hand over your mouth.
It's not as hard as it used to be.
Really?
There were times when early in my career where I would keep on talking, and then after reviewing my work and watching, I'm like, boy, that's awful. And so it's really easy for me now, but it was not easy when I first started in this business for a while. But you learn what works and what doesn't. And I also, you know, put myself in the shoes of the person watching at home. You know, what do they want? You know, when I'm at home on a special moment, I wouldn't want to listen to an announcer on TV going ballistic, you know, for 20 seconds. I'd rather just see the action and hear the natural sound. So it's just, you know, something I learned, but it's not hard. It used to be hard. It's not anymore. First of all, you know, what I think the hardest part is we haven't had a lot of special moments lately, so that's even more difficult than anything else, you know? I mean, you know, please, you know, I mean, hey, I don't even know how to react when we have a special moment, you know? I mean, it's just, I forgot how to get excited, you know? I forgot what, no, but we, it's, you know, you when you do it, when you're with the team so long, you go through the ups and downs, you go through the great moments, you go through the struggles, and everything's cyclical. I mean, look at the Cubs right now. I mean, they may win the World Series this year. Think about, you know, all those fans, many of them that aren't even, you know, with us, you know, and they're watching from heaven because during their, you know, lifetime of 80 years, they never saw the Cubs win. So you stay with the team. I'm a firm believer in this. I mean, I guarantee you this, okay? 5 years ago, if you had polled every single fan of the Golden State Warriors and you told them that what was going to happen in 2015, 2016, they would have said, no chance. There's no way that's ever going to happen. Things can change in a hurry in professional sports. We see it all the time. Am I saying that's going to happen in Sacramento? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But nobody thought it was going to happen when the Kings were dreadful in 1997. And then in 1998 and 99, during the 50-game season, overnight they became the darlings of the NBA. They went from a franchise that people had stopped going to the games at Arco Arena. They were an embarrassment. They were going downhill fast. In a span of 1 year, they became the darlings of the NBA. That doesn't happen very often, but again, these things can happen. That's why I always tell the fans, I understand your impatience. Trust me, I get it. I love this team as much as you do. I want to see this team win as much as you do. I understand that you want it this year, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's not going to happen this year, okay? I mean, let's be realistic about this. Yep. The way that this team's not going to win, you know, enough games this year, in my opinion, to make the playoffs. And that's okay as long as they're improving and as long as they're setting up for the future. And I know the fans of sports, I get it. I'm a fan of my teams too, okay? I'm not talking about the Kings. I'm talking about other sports. I hate to hear that as well. You know what? I'm a diehard Yankee fan. They haven't been very good lately. You know what they decided to do? They decided to rebuild, and they traded three of the top relief pitchers in baseball to get, you know, young prospects. I'm okay with that. You know why? It needs to be done. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm cautiously, and I say cautiously because we've had so much disappointment here the last couple of years, I'm cautiously optimistic that this franchise is finally on the right path to building a team.
So if / when the Kings become good again, how many of those Warriors fans come back to us and are we going to accept them?
Hey, you know what? They'll have to stand in line because there won't be room for them in the arena, right? Because the place is going to be sold out. You know, I'm Nate. I deal with this all the time. You know, the term is bandwagon fans, right? I've never cared about that. The reality is that even in Sacramento, when the Kings got good, there were a lot of fans that quote unquote jumped on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. So what? You know, people say, well, gee, I've been a fan my whole life, and so what? Does it really bother you? We watch sports for enjoyment, correct? We watch sports because it makes us feel good. We watch sports because we love investing in our team. If your next door neighbor has not been a fan of the team that you root for, and then when they get good, they become the fan, does that really bother you? Who cares? You know, the more the merrier. I know how I am with my teams and what I've done and how many thousands and thousands of miles I traveled and how – listen, I got a story that you guys might appreciate. When the Giants were in 1986 and 1987, they won the Super Bowl January 25th, 1987. During that year, they played the Chicago – I was working in Decatur, Illinois, and they were playing the Denver Broncos. And back then, I could get this at my TV station. I could get all the games that were on CBS, but I couldn't get the games that were on NBC. They used a different band, and our satellite couldn't pick it up. So I got on the phone and started calling different markets to see where the game was going to be played. I got in my car, and I drove 3 hours to a Sears department store in Peoria, Illinois. Okay, and true story, the Giants are playing the Denver Broncos. And I'm standing in the TV section, and the first thing I do when I walk in, I turn all the TVs to the channel that the Giants and Broncos are on. So I'm standing in the Sears. I'm standing in Sears, and I got every single TV in the Sears onto the Giants-Broncos game. So the guy walks up to me, and he goes, "Can I help you, sir?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, if the Giants win, I may buy a TV, but I'm going to sit here and watch the game. Is that all right?" And I stood, and the Giants won, and George Martin intercepted a pass and ran 78 yards down the New York Giants sideline to beat the Denver Broncos. And then, of course, they went on and won the Super Bowl. And that's a whole nother story that I went to. And, you know, but that's how crazy of a fan I am. You know, I don't care if somebody became a New York Giants fan that year. What difference does it make to me? I'd never get caught up in that stuff.
Even if they're a Red Sox fan.
Well, that's a whole different story. I do not. Hey, listen, I've told you this story. I had something wrong with my house about 15 years ago, and the technician comes to my house, and the doorbell rings, and he says, "Hi, I'm here from so-and-so," and I said, "Nah, not going to work." He had a Red Sox hat on, and he says, "What do you mean it's not going to work?" I said, "Here's the deal. Okay, you can come into my house, but that hat's not coming in my house. So if you would like to come in and repair what need, I'm fine, but the hat stays outside." And that's just the way it is. My wife's from Dallas. You know that, right? Yep. And I told her when we got married, I said, here's the deal, okay? I said, you know what? I love you. You're the best thing in my life, and, you know, you're awesome. But I got one simple rule, and it is never, ever going to be broken. And she goes, "What's that?" I go, "There's no cowboy stuff in my house. I don't care if your parents come and visit. I don't care if your cousins come and visit. No one wears cowboy stuff in my house." And she goes, "Okay." She goes, I go, "Okay?" She goes, "Yeah, okay." I said, "No, I'm serious." I go, and then we went out to dinner probably 7 or 8 years ago with a couple that did not really understand that mechanism that we have in our marriage. And they gave her this little nighty cowboy outfit with a star. My wife's name is Star,
yeah,
but it had the cowboy. So I am in the shower, okay? Uh-huh. And I'm looking through the glass of my shower, and I'm like, I'm looking at my wife, and she's got this. I'm like, what are you wearing? And she goes, what? And I look at it. It's got a cowboy stuff. I go, what is that? I go, take that off right now. I'm yelling at her from the shower. Like, I'm yelling at my wife, okay? And she goes, I'm sorry. They didn't know. I just put it on. They didn't know that. And I said, yeah, but that take that off. So I got out of – this is no kidding. She'll tell you the story. She can come on and verify. I turned the shower off. I got a towel around me. She had taken her outfit off. I literally went outside and threw it in the garbage.
Now, did you still have your hair up in the mohawk that I'm sure you do when you shampoo it and you put it up like that? You must look pretty silly.
Yeah, I probably did look silly. But, you know, again, I don't have a lot of rules in my house. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I let a lot of stuff go. But I have certain requirements that's not acceptable. No Red Sox stuff in the house. No Cowboy stuff in my house. And for people that are listening, oh, yeah, Grant, Dave, you know Star.
Yes.
Call her up and have her come on anytime and she'll
lying.
Tell you the story.
You're not right. Lying at all. We blew through the break. We got to go. That's
about God, I'm sorry. I'm costing the station money now.
Hey,
good Lord.
Hey, listen, don't worry about it. It's 50 minutes of the easiest radio that we've ever done. Appreciate it, Grant. What an awesome conversation. And you're not doing Rome today, right?
I am not. Well, if I am, I'm in deep trouble because it starts in 10 minutes.
All right. We'll see you at 3 o'clock, buddy.
All right.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks, great man. Having me on. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thanks. That's Grant Napier. That's awesome. Hey, great having me on.
All right, buddy. Have a great day.
I can finish the show.
You too.
He is a beauty, man.
Agreed.
He is an absolute freaking beauty. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, 11th caller, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You get a pair of tickets to the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. That's Friday, August 19th, California Museum. Samplings of the finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from all around the land.
Hey.
At this Great Gatsby-themed party. Purchase tickets at khtk.com. That's going to be fun, Nate, because we're going, and that's the day before I go on vacation, so I'm already be in vacation mode.
Man.
I'm wearing a Speedo.
Oh,
that's
okay.
From the Gatsby era.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so.
11th caller at 339-1140. Right. Katie out today. I say she won't be back tomorrow.
I'm with you.
Is that your call?
Yeah.
She had the little nose surgery and all that. She's going to try to come back in, but we don't want her to sound like this. So I say no. Who knows? But either way, well done today, Nate.
You expect Friday, though.
I do.
Well,
I think maybe Friday. Really, Grant did most of the work today. Thanks to him for joining us for the last hour. Matt George, well done, my friend. And all of you listening, we always appreciate it. Don't forget the lowdown live from Napa today at Raider Camp. That starts at noon. Grant Napier takes the baton at 3 p.m. We should just call into his show for now.
Maybe so.
Turnaround's fair play.
I don't feel like he needs us.
That's it. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jim Rome's next.